Thank you, Brother Tom. Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm happy to be here with you this evening, not because I'm occupying in the capacity that I am, but I'm happy to meet with you because you've come to worship the Lord. And I am moved by the beautiful song that we heard this evening that was sung by our sisters. And I am aware that as I stand before you, as that one who gave the invitation to come, holds the reins of life in his hand, and holds within his grasp a love and compassion for the children of men that's hard for us to understand, and that the arm of mercy is extended under the souls of the children of men, beckoning, if you please, if they would listen, beckoning the hearts to be drawn unto the God who is a God of love and compassion. I'm happy that we have had the privilege in this nation to gather together to worship such. To come, we have been blessed inasmuch that we live in the dispensation of time of world, that God has caused it great knowledge pertaining to those things that is pertinent to the welfare of the souls of the children of men would be brought forth, that we might have it to study and to seek. I am grateful that there were those like such as we have today who believed and allowed the movement and the spiritual power of God, even that Holy Ghost, to lead their hearts and their mind, that they would pen the beauties of the story of the God of love, that we might be able to study and to seek and to understand and come to that knowledge of He who has created us, of He who leads the hearts of the children of men, He who has touched even the hardest of hearts and caused the heart to be single to the glory of God, to view and to recognize His compassion and His ways in the life. I have a book that I have been reading, and I don't remember where I got it. I have a book that I've been reading that started in October the 19th of 20th of 1956. It's a book that tells us of the statements of spiritual men among the Indian people. Men who had gathered together on the Hopi Nation to come and to explain one to another the word, the teachings, the philosophy that had been handed down through the generations of time unto this time to that people. In that, as each man from the different nations of the Indian people stood and spoke and aired their thoughts and their understanding that has been handed down through the generations of time, they told of the bearded white God that was to return. They told, and with united effort, one with another, brought out one to another the message, the history that you and I have been privileged to read by the power of God. I can't go all through the book tonight, but I'd like to start by reading part of it, which is the editorial at the end of this. It says, "Do you know?" I want you to listen to this very closely. says, do you know that almost universally, American Indians believe that the day will come when they will be called upon to take over once more the country of their heritage and save it. Did you know that? Plus, the white man from the horrors of complete destruction. Did you know that today the Indians are getting ready to perform whatsoever task they are called upon to perform in carrying out this ancient prophecy regarding the red race? Now, isn't that an odd statement? Isn't that an odd understanding for a group of different tribes all over the nations of the United States to come to an understanding or to set and to discuss and come to the realization that the day is going to come that the nation of the Indian people were going to be called to rise up, and if it need be, to rise up and absolutely conquer again this nation to save it from its destruction. For thus it behooves the Father, Jesus says in the third chapter, in the third book of Nephi, in the ninth chapter, for thus it behooves the Father that it should come forth from the Gentiles, that he should show forth his power unto the Gentiles, for this cause that the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name and know the true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among the people, O house of Israel. I read the 92nd verse. Now I'll read the 99th. And my people, who are the remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who, if he go through, both tread down and tear to pieces, and none can deliver. Their hands shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee. I will destroy thy chariots. I will cut off thy cities of thy land and throw down thy strongholds. Now I'd like to drift back to an ancient brother in 2200 B.C., to who was given by the power of God that manifestation that says, whatsoever nation possesseth this land shall worship the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, or when they ripen in iniquity, they shall be swept off of the land thereof, like those hitherto have been. That we have had evidence of two complete groups of people that has possessed this land, and when they had turned away from the God of the land and no longer walked in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there was nothing but disaster among them. At one particular period of time, they were killed down to two men, one a prophet of the Lord called Ether and the other Coriantumr. Over all the great nations of America, he walked it alone because of the sins and transgressions of the children of men. And then when it was restored by God the Eternal Father through the gift of his Holy Son, again they fell away from those things in which they knew to be true. And there was those people such as we hear about Columbus and Coronado and the Pilgrims, that again came to a nation and to a people who was under the covenant of Abraham, and who had lost through transgression the gospel of Jesus Christ and was driven back and made slaves and put on reservations because they had lost the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ and no longer walked in the ways and the paths of the God who gave them that understanding. Today, the Gentiles who drove back those individuals are fast leaving the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are fast no longer being a God and looking to the God of the nation, even Jesus Christ. They have separated themselves from Him and they walk in all types of hideous manners, forsaking the gospel of Jesus Christ, forsaking the way and the life, reaching out for those things which are of the world, walking the streets with deaf ears, walking the streets with eyes that have been blinded by the power of the adversary. Among the nations of the world today, we see it all about us. Yet this nation was a nation under God, with a great promise given unto this nation if they would repent and walk after the God of the land. Any of you that have been reading the papers, any of you have been watching the news, what is the Indian nation doing if it's not fulfilling the prophecy of the Book of Mormon? Every day they take greater strides. Every day they take greater strides towards this place and this position that these individuals say that they are preparing themselves to take any task to do whatever it was that the bearded white God, that great spirit, shall lead them to do. Every time we turn around, we find they gather another foothold in this nation. And they become stronger and more united. We see the development of the fulfillment of those things that He caused holy men in the generations to pass to write for our edification and for the edification of the Gentile nation that lives upon this nation, that we might be awake and alert and know to what God we must look to and to walk in the manner that's proper and just before Him and learn. And learn of Him who is meek and lowly at heart. And learn to repent and walk justly before Him. And recognize that that nation and the peoples therein was to be the salt of the earth. And it was not to lose its savor. But it was to be that wherever they went that it would glorify their Father which was in heaven. You know, the Book of Mormon tells us, and I'm going to read on page 86, something that's for all of us. It's for all of us. It's a promise for all of us. And I'm going to start right at the top of the page. It says, Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. Men are that they might have joy. But that men are that they might have joy is through that holy Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God. That's how that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that He may redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. They become free forever, knowing good from evil. To act for themselves and not to be acted upon. But there's only one thing there though, isn't it? That you and I are free to act for ourselves and not to be acted upon, save. In other words, until, except it be by the punishment of the law at the great and last day according to the commandments which God hath given. We're free to act of ourselves, to choose, to know right from wrong, to walk in the pattern of the life that we so want. We're free to do that for ourselves until the day comes that we stand before the judgment bar of God. And that's the day we shall be acted upon by the commandments through those things which are written according to our works. That's the day that the act of God shall come mighty into the hearts of the children of men, when they shall bow down and recognize their uncleanliness before Him. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil. For he who seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to that great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. Choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. I'd like to turn now over to the 7th chapter of the 2nd book of Nephi, and I'd like to read the 40th verse. He says, therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourself, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of everlasting life. Be of good cheer. Perk up. Be happy. Because everyone that's within the sound of my voice tonight is free to choose your own destiny. You're free to choose your own destiny. You're free to make choice to whom ye shall serve. That is a God-given right unto you and I, and to all the children of men across the nations of the earth, that they're free to choose of whom they shall serve. They're free to choose until the position and the time comes that they shall be acted upon by that power of God through the commandments of the Son Jesus Christ. And when that day comes, then they're no longer free to choose, but the choice then will be God the Father's. On page 594 in the book of Helaman, it says, and now remember, beginning in the 85th verse, he says, now remember, remember my brethren, that whosoever perisheth, perisheth unto himself. And whosoever doeth iniquity, doeth it unto himself. For behold, ye are free. Ye are permitted to act for yourself. For behold, God hath given unto you a knowledge, and he hath made you free. He hath given unto you that ye might know good from evil, and he hath given unto you that ye might choose life over death, or death, excuse me, and ye can do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you, or ye can do evil and have that which is evil restored unto you. That tells me, as I sit down and as I begin to ponder upon these things, that tells me that God has set before us an example and a way unto life whereby you and I might walk. That tells me that he has set a way where you and I can come unto him and be obedient unto his holy law and do the things which he has required of us, and we can walk in the paths of Christ, and we can be like he tells us in the 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi, when they said, and you ask me, what kind of man ought ye to be? He says, and I say unto you, even as I am. That kind of an individual that thinks like Jesus Christ. And it tells me as well that I can turn my back on that Christ. I can turn my back on the gift of God given unto the children of men. I have the right to turn my back and to walk away from him. I have a right to no longer walk with him and to no longer be what he would want me to be. And I can willfully, fully disobey him And he will allow it because he has given me my own free agency. He will allow it because he has allowed me my own free agency to choose whom I should serve. But you know, with this, there's another thought. With this is that thought that Christ came to redeem the children of men. With this comes the thought that he has come to redeem those of his creation. But I'd like to read a scripture to you on page 556 in the Book of Mormon. And I want you to ponder on it very closely. I want you to think very seriously about it. And I'm going to start, in about the 71st verse there. He says, "Oh, remember, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved only through the atonement blood of Jesus Christ, who shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words of Amulek spake to Jerome, and at the city of Manahah, for he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people." That the Lord should surely come to redeem his people. But now I want you to pay attention to the rest of this verse very, very closely. "But that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins." There's a difference. That he did not come to redeem them in their sins, but he came to redeem them from their sins. "And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance." Does that tell us something? Does that tell us about a nation? The nation that we dwell upon? A nation who is turning away from God quickly? Peoples? "That he would redeem them from their sin because of repentance. Therefore, he hath sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance." I want you to take notice that he didn't just come into us and say, "Now I want you to repent." It says that he sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. That angels claim to declare the tidings of the conditions that's necessary for the children of men to come to have that repentance, to be redeemed from their sin and not in their sin. "And now, my sons, remember, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts and his whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and the endless woe, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereupon if men build, they cannot fall." Upon that foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, upon the foundation of the rock of Christ. And if they build their foundation therein, on their own choosing, by the act of the liberty that God had given them to act for themselves and to choose for themselves, if they build their foundation upon the rock of Jesus Christ, by that choice, when the winds and the power of the adversary and the fiery darts comes into the lives of the children of men, they shall not fall. Do you believe it? I do. I believe it. I believe that he gives us that understanding. I believe that he gives us the strength and the power to go and to overcome those things, and that it's done through Christ and by Christ, but there's something that He wants us to do. He wants us to walk in the proper manner. He wants us to walk in the way that is just and holy. He wants us to walk after the Son. He wants us to do those things. On page 351, it says, "Behold, the Scriptures are before you. If ye will wrestle them, it shall be to your own destruction." And now it came to pass that when Alma had said these words unto them, he stretched forth his hand unto them, and he cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Now is the time to repent, for the day of salvation draweth nigh." And if there was a prophet with a mighty strength, as these individuals in that dispensation of time that walked among these of the Manasseh seed, of the seed of Joseph, if there were those who had walked among the nations of the Palestinian people and was prophesying today, they would prophesy in the streets of America and of the people to repent. To repent and to turn their ways back to the God of Israel, to repent and to walk in the manner that was just and holy before God, to walk in the way that Christ came to deliver unto the children of men. He came for reasons, and that was to save the souls of the children of men. He came, what good would it have been for Him to come and to die on the cross if we had no recognition whatsoever of the things that's required of you and I? What good would that have been? What good would it have been if they had just said, "Yes, there's a man called Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross, and He died for us"? And you'd say, well, that's good, but what's it mean to me? What's it mean to me? He died for us? What's that mean? But before He went to the cross, pay close attention. Before He went to the cross, He walked on this earth. And He taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He taught it with the power and authority from on high. And He testified unto the children of men. He says, "These words which I teach are not of me, but the God that sent me." Yes, those words. To prepare the hearts and the minds of the children of men, those tidings of condition that was brought to the nations of the world by angels, to prepare the hearts and the minds and know wherein they must walk, and what it meant by repentance, what it meant to be remorse, to be ashamed and sorry that you walked in an unjust manner before the God that created you. What it meant that when you come to the knowledge of those things of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you knew that you were walking opposite of the teachings of the Son of God. Let's go a little further here. "Yea, the voice of the Lord by the mouth of angels doth declare it unto all nations, and doth declare it that they may have glad tidings of great joy." And you know if there are those who are in the sound of that declaration going out and understands the gospel of Jesus Christ and believes in Him who the Father has sent unto the nations of the world, they would rejoice when they heard the glad tidings of the angels and of those whom God has chosen to preach and expound the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell the nations of the earth and this nation and its peoples to repent and turn back to the God that gave them life. Turn back to the God that sent His only begotten Son. Sent His only begotten Son. You know, sometimes that's something that people, that very statement, you hear it quoted quite a bit, but sometimes people don't really ponder on just exactly what's that saying. It's saying the only begotten of God the Father. That's what it's saying. That's saying the only begotten of God the Father. That He loved you and I so much that he sent his only begotten, according to the scriptures, to walk in the flesh as you and I, to live in the manner that God the Father has taught him. That's why he said, you haven't seen the Father. I have. I've been with him. Yes. That's why he said those things. Let's go a little further. Behold, the angels are declaring it unto many at this time in our land. And this is the purpose of preparing the hearts of the children of men to receive his word at the time of his coming in his glory. To receive his word at the time of his coming in that glory. That they're proclaiming those things even upon this land. And it shall be made known unto the just and holy men by the mouths of angels at the time of his coming, that the words of our Father may be fulfilled according to that which he has spoken concerning him, which was according to the spirit of prophecy which was in them. You know, it's something that we must meditate fully upon sometimes as a people who've been graced and blessed to live on a nation of freedom, a people who have a right to speak yet upon the streets of this nation, that has a right to tell people why they have the hope that's within them, to live upon a nation that God said should be a promised land. A land blessed above all other lands. And each one of us, as I see before me tonight, including myself, we're here upon that land. And yet that land, with the land and with the freedom that is yours and mine, there goes a responsibility and a promise. And the responsibility that is yours and I is to reach out, and yours is to reach out, and mine is to reach out unto the nations of the world and unto this nation, this very nation, and proclaim without a shadow of a doubt that repentance, the way that was necessary to walk, to come unto Christ. I'd like to read in the book of Acts, in the third chapter of the book of Acts, I want to read the 18th and the 19th verses. He says, but those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted. I want you to take notice of that. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, what do you think he means by that? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Does that mean that I'm to come to you and say, oh, I repent, or go to the Lord and say, oh, I repent, but then I just willfully, continually exercise the act that is mine to choose as I so please, either liberty or death, and I say, well, now, Lord, I repent, but I will continue stiff-neckedness and willfully, like a bit broken horse that gets a bit in his mouth and keep running. I'm going to go my own way. I'm sorry about it, Lord, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong, and I'm sorry about it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. It says, repent and be converted. Be converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be converted to the law, the way that an individual should walk. That if you're going to be remorse of the things in which you have done, walk in the pattern that Christ had set. That you no longer have to be remorse because of the same actions in your life. Repent and walk that way no more. Be like the woman that Jesus says, well, I'm not going to accuse you. But he didn't just tell her, go thy way. That's not what Jesus said. He says, go thy way and sin no more. He said, go thy way if you please, and no longer be a prostitute. no longer violate that portion of the law of God. Go thy way and sin no more. Repent and be converted. Walk in the manner that's just and holy before God. And there's no other way of deliverance for this nation or for a people other than repentance and being converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ and walking therein. There's no other way. When Jesus began his ministry, he went forth and he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'll tell you what, I can go forth and stand upon the tallest buildings in the world and the tallest mountains, and I can proclaim, repent ye, for the return of the Son of Jesus Christ is at hand. And it is. It is. We are living in a momentous, magnificent period of time. We're living in the period of time for the edification of the souls of the children of men. We have the privilege of seeing the fulfillment of the prophecies that had been prophesied by holy men of old as they penned, as they were moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. That we see those things, that we witness them even in our own eyes and according to the history. Over generations it told of the scattering of the house of Israel. Jesus, when he was here, said, oh yes, Jerusalem would be trodden under and controlled by the power of the Gentiles until the end of that period of time, and when the Jews again would conquer Jerusalem. Well, who is it under now? Yes, in a 6-day war. You and I read the history where the Jews went in and wept at the Wailing Wall. And again conquered Jerusalem, just exactly like the prophecies that God said shall go out and will not come back unto me void. And the other prophecies that have been delivered unto the children of men by the mouth of the holy prophets and penned for our edification, they as well shall not come back unto him void. And the destruction and the terrible thing that comes upon a nation and a people who have turned their back to that God and have not repented and walked in a just manner, they will be the recipient of the wrath of that God because they have willfully disobeyed the law and have turned and have no longer walked with Him. I'd like to read in the last chapter of Luke. I'd like to read where Christ was speaking there in the 24th chapter of Luke, and I'll start to the 46th verse, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And did he stop there? Nope. Now I have to go home and I have to look in the mirrors. He says, and ye are witnesses of these things. And you know something, my lovely brothers and sisters, we are witnesses of those things. We are indeed witnesses of those things. That this gospel of Christ, that the repentance, that they should turn back, that they should turn back and be converted. Be converted not to the wills and the whims and the ways of the adversary and the ways of the world, but be converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be converted to the point that it's applied to their life. To be converted to the point that it is a witness in them, and they do witness unto the nations of the world and unto this nation, which is a great nation under God, that they must turn from the ways of the adversary and walk no more in that way and look to the God of this nation, even Jesus Christ. I'd like to I'd like to read in 2 Nephi. Oh, I think I'll go first to the first chapter of the second book of Nephi. And I want to read, that's on... I'm sure you will too. And I'm going to read on page 83. And I want you to listen to this real closely. And I'm going to start with the 71st verse, and I'll read through, I imagine, the 79th. He said, "Wherefore redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law, unto all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered." What did he say over there? The glad tidings of the conditions of repentance? That the angels proclaimed the glad tidings of the conditions of repentance? Yea, indeed. Just like this ancient brother, he says, the conditions of repentance is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, and none else shall answer unto the law. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants, and to the inhabitants of the earth. How great it is that you and I make these conditions known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that the conditions of that repentance comes with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. A remorseful heart, knowing that they have walked opposite of the will of the Holy One, their Savior. That redemption, not the redemption in sin, but the redemption from sin is activated in their life. That they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and the grace of the Holy Messiah, who layeth down his life according to the flesh and taketh it up again by the power of the Spirit, that he may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first who should rise. Wherefore, he is the first fruits unto God, insomuch as he shall make intercession for all the children of men. And they that believe in him shall be saved, and because of the intercession for all men come unto God. Wherefore, they must stand. Listen to this closely. Wherefore they must stand in the presence of him to be judged of him according to the truth and holiness which is in him. What does that tell us, that part of the message that you and I should declare to the nations of the world should be? Number one, that they should repent. Number two, that the angel did indeed declare the tidings of the conditions that is required of the nations and of the children of men to repent. To repent and come unto him, and those conditions to be converted and to walk in that manner was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Those were the conditions that was given. Those were the things that was necessary to be brought, to be forth and to come and to be worthy of those things, to set themselves in a position where that redemption cometh and redeems them from sin and didn't redeem them in their sin. You know, at the particular period of time, and I know that each of you are aware of these things, but the particular period of time when we had the terrible things come upon this nation as the crucifixion of Christ, when all these things come unglued and just came upon him with great power, And in that particular period of time, and all the blackness and all these things came upon the people, at that particular time, all of a sudden out of the sky, they heard a voice. They heard a voice. They heard a voice, and it came and it shook the earth with such great power. Yes, they heard a voice from on high. And that voice said, and it came to pass that there was a voice heard among the inhabitants upon the earth, all the face of this land, crying, woe, 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 woe unto this people. Woe unto the inhabitants of the whole earth, except they shall repent. Yes, woe unto the inhabitants of the whole earth, and woe unto this people, except they shall repent. For the devil laugheth, and his angels rejoice, because of the slain and fair sons and daughters of my people, and it is because of their iniquity and abominations that they are fallen. Yes, proclaim unto this nation and unto the earth that woe, woe, repent ye, repent ye. And the devil laugheth in his angels because of the abominations of the children of men, and he's drawn them down to hell. He's drawn them down to destruction. And I was reading that on page 626 in the Book of Mormon, on the 26th and the 27th verse, and I'd like to go just a little further. I'd like to go on the next page there on 628 and the 48th and 49th verse. He says, behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come unto him and will receive and be blessed are those who will come unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth, and all things in them are. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And he goes on to tell them, and I'm going to drop down here now to the 50th verse. He says, whosoever shall come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. That even this individual, he reached out when he was here and walked among the nations of the earth. He reached out when he was here and he says, repent ye and be baptized in my name. He said, repent ye and come unto me. All these things that the angels did proclaim, not only was it necessary to believe in the Holy Messiah, not only was it necessary to believe that in the love and power of God the Father, that he sent, just like the scriptures teach so beautifully, that he sent his only begotten to walk and to grace the face of the earth. He sent his only begotten to come and to proclaim through his mouth and through the mouth of the holy angels the glad tidings of repentance unto the children of men, and the conditions whereby they might walk and adjust themselves wherein that they can be under the redemption of Christ, not in sin, but from sin. That they can be covered through that redemption of Christ as they're covered from sin. That he helps them to walk in that manner. If we were to go to the, I believe it's the 66th chapter of Isaiah. And if we were to turn to the 66th chapter of Isaiah, I'll read the first couple verses. He says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been said the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Oh, we can build a lot of things. We can build a lot of beautiful structures. We can do a whole lot of things. But the one that he looks at is the poor and the contrite spirit. And I'll give you what I feel like when he's saying and trembles at his word. Yes. To recognize a voice of authority, a voice of power. To tremble with a glad heart and a ready mind. To tremble in a manner of rejoicing because he has established a rod of iron. He has established a way to reach the tree of life. He has established a way that a person might be the partakers of that tree of life and even the fruit thereof, that pure love of God. That through him and by him, you and I have the power to walk. And don't ever think for a fleeting moment that when you turn loose of the rod of iron, which is the word of God, that was taught by the power of Jesus Christ, just remember one thing, that whenever anyone turns loose of that rod of iron, immediately their knees begin to knock and they begin to quake and they begin to know that they've made a mistake. They better get back hold. Immediately they recognize they no longer have security. Immediately they find that they're confused. Immediately they find that they're grasping at something and they know not what. Immediately they begin to wander to and fro like they have in every generation of kind known unto man according to history, that when there was a person or a people who had turned loose of the rod of iron, they lacked to be filled with the living manna. They were not filled with that water. They were not filled with those things we heard these sisters sing tonight because they were wandering to and fro, not knowing where to find it. We must, as a people and as a nation, turn back to the God of the land, even Jesus Christ. We must more fully lay hold to the rod of iron and recognize that in it is our strength. That in it is the wisdom and the understanding, the magnitude of knowledge that comes not through the understanding of man, but through the gift and power of the Holy Ghost by the God who gives enlightenment unto the children of men. And whenever we lose sight of those things and lose grasp of that rod of iron, those things, then we no longer come to him in a repentant manner to where we are converted unto those things which are pertinent to the welfare of our soul. All those things that God has been caused to be written over the generations of time was for the edification of those who would hold tight unto the rod of iron. Those prophecies and those things that he has caused to be written was for you and I. It was for those across the street and those down the way and those on the west side and the east side and over in California and in New York, wherever the case may be. It was for every soul of the whole human family of Adam that shall ever grace the nations of the earth to save their soul. Yet he has given them the utterly freedom to choose and to act upon themselves, to make a decision to whom they shall serve. And that choice is yours and mine tonight. That choice has been the choice of this nation. And the choice of this nation has been they have lotted to serve even he who is of darkness and have turned their eyes away from the light. And immediately when we begin to turn our eyes away from the light, we see shadows. And when we see shadows, then it begins to darken the spiritual view and the understanding of the spirit of men unto the way unto salvation. In Psalms, I'd like to read a scripture. In the 34th chapter of Psalms, I'd like to read a scripture. Psalms Starting with the 17th verse, it says, "The righteous cry." Now, you know, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to testify unto you tonight. And I want you to listen very closely. The righteous better start crying. The righteous better get serious about their crying unto the Lord. They better get serious about the crying unto the Lord about this nation. They better get serious about their crying unto the Lord about the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They better get serious about the crying unto the Lord to where it is necessary for them to be the testimony of that rod of iron and of that God who has given the way unto life that will also redeem men, not in sin, but from sin. Yes, the righteous better cry. The righteous better exercise the God-given gift to visit to God the Eternal Father and to speak to Him with all their heart and with that broken heart and a contrite spirit, that they might be a testimony to reach out to this great nation and the peoples that they're about, that they might testify of that rod of iron and the way into life. And there is a path, though it may be a straight one and small, that there is a path and a goal set for the souls of the children of men, that those who truly have that desire and act in their own freedom and their right to choose can walk with their hand in the Master and walk with justly to glorify their Father which is in heaven, and walk without fear and walk without confusion and walk without misunderstanding, but walk with a clearness of mind and heart of the requirements that God requires of their soul. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I guess this nation isn't crying very loud because it sure isn't getting delivered out of all its troubles. Somebody better pick up that rod of iron. Somebody better begin to pick up the Word of God and begin to sit and look and see what's going to happen. He said if they cry, they'll be delivered out of all their problems. This nation isn't crying. This nation is teaching constantly those things that destroys the children of men, which labels a grave responsibility on your shoulders and mine. A grave responsibility. Yes. How do we know that there are not those among us right now that the Lord's going to move to stand upon the mountaintop and proclaim these things unto this nation, even unto death? Are we ready? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as to be contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. Oh, he didn't say it was going to be a smooth run. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them. And he hears the prayers and moves upon those with a contrite spirit. He moves and hears the words of those individuals who have humbly beseeched the Lord with a broken heart. He hears. My lovely brothers and sisters, I want you to understand and I want you to come to the knowledge of something. You may not believe it, but you better think on it very seriously. We've been riding, we might say, sort of like a railroad. We've been riding on that railroad now in this nation for a long time, and we've just about come to the end. We've just about come to the end. We have just about reached the position where we are waxing in iniquity, and when that time comes, everything is going to come unglued. We have reached the position where you and I must more fully reach out, must more fully come with a contrite spirit, with a broken heart, and visit with God the Father. That we must more fully take upon us the gospel of Jesus Christ and recognize that it's not the thing that we say, it's not the thing that we do. How many times have I lived and how many times have I told you and showed you up here an example that I could walk up and tell my brother Tom, "Oh, I love you, my brother," and belt him right in the eye. My words fall on deaf ears. My actions in love softens the hearts of the children of men. My actions in love softens the heart of the children of men. It's not enough to talk a good fight. We've got to be ready to do it. It's not enough to talk about a righteous people. We have to live it. It's not enough to tell what they had in the yesterdays. It's got to be today. We're those individuals, just like others who look to God and believe with all their heart. We're the Peters and James and Johns. We're the different individuals today in this dispensation of time that God had in another dispensation of time. And wherever those things come about, there was responsibility that was upon their shoulders. And that responsibility was to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ and hold fast unto the rod of iron. That was the responsibility from the children of men from the very beginning, is to hold fast unto those things which are true. You know, I want you to know and I want you to fully understand that we can say and do anything we want to and we can find all kinds of excuses we so desire, but I'll tell you one thing, I've said it before and I'll tell you again. There's only one inoculation for sin, and that's a man called Jesus Christ. And that's the man that better be in our life. That's the individual that we must realize that he does not redeem us in sin, but he redeems the children of men from sin. You know, the brother that was sent before Christ, he went forth and he preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm speaking to John the Baptist. And when he was speaking there, he told him, he says, "Repent ye, repent ye." And you know, did you know that there were stiff-necked people then too? Did you know that there was the proud and the haughty? Did you know that there was deaf ears and blind eyes just like there is now? Did you know that there were people just like you and I, bald-headed? A lot of hair, hair on their face, clothed in different manners. Did you know that there were people at that particular period of time, some would believe and some would not, and some had already made up their mind to walk their own way and do their own thing? In those things, my brothers and sisters, the world has not changed. Because from the beginning, man began to rebel against God, and to this day they rebel against God, and rebel against the teachings, and rebel against the very way of life that he's given unto the children of men. They rebel against it. And they willfully walk away from it. And they did at this particular period of time as well. And the old brother said, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Is what this old brother was teaching. I'm reading in the third chapter of Matthew. He says, "And think not to say in your heart." And we might say, "Oh, well, now listen, we know Christ. Boy, we've read the Bible. I've read it three times. Hey, I've read the Book of Mormon from cover to cover. I know, we know Christ." Just like they in that particular period of time said, "Oh, my goodness, don't you know, Mr. John the Baptist, don't you realize that we're the seed of Abraham?" And you know, John the Baptist answered them too. He says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that the God is able of these stones to rise up a children unto Abraham. What's that tell us? Does that tell us we better be serious about what we're doing and what we're thinking? Does that tell us that we better be just a little serious about what those angels proclaimed and the tidings of those angels and the conditions was a broken heart and a contrite spirit? And that the conditions was that we weren't going to be redeemed in sin, but we would be redeemed from sin? Was those the conditions? Yea, indeed. Yea, indeed. And you know, if the Lord was to speak to us today, and if we get the throwing out our chest and think, oh boy, we're just walking so nice, just don't think for a minute that of those stones He can't rise up a people that will worship Him. Because He can. And just don't think for a minute that He can't bring a people to their knees and make them wish they had worshiped Him too. Because He can. And all we could go into the scriptures and find so oft where He had brought them to their knees with such terrible destruction, and yet they'll be converted and go back and they'll stay and repent and be maybe that way for 2 or 3 years and go right back to the same thing. How often has the house of Israel done that? How often has the children of men done that? They don't hold fast to the rod of iron. They'll go along for a while and then they begin to see greener pastures in the opposite way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're no different than them. We go along to the point that sometimes the things that we have known to be spiritual experiences within us that cause even our hearts to burn within us, that cause us to feel the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit within us with great power, that it caused your body to tingle. And the knowledge in your heart and mind, you recognize that love of God. And it goes along a little bit and it begins to become death. And it begins to be callous within our lives. And we begin to forget the full imprint of that Spirit as it moved upon us at the time that we had reached out unto Him in a humble, submissive manner. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know one thing. We're not in a game of chance. We're in serious business. In this nation, in this church, throughout every place, we have serious business to do. And that's the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a serious work to proclaim unto the nations of the world, and that's the repentance and the conditions of repentance through and by the power of God the Father. We must bring to the knowledge of the nations of the world and His peoples that God has a way. That God has a way. And it wasn't by accident. That way was set and established by His Holy Son. That He has a way to redeem the children of men from sin. He has a way. And that He has never offered or told us or set a goal that's an impossibility for you and I to reach. He's never asked of any individual to do something that you can't do if you'll look to the Lord. If you'll depend on Him. There's nothing. Oh, you might say, oh, yes, there is. I just can't talk to my husband. Boy, I couldn't tell him about the gospel of Christ for nothing. Or I can't talk to my daughter. Or I can't talk to this. Or I can't talk to that. He hasn't given anybody a work to do in all the creations of time that He hasn't given the power and the gifts to do it. If we just lay hold of the rod of iron and the responsibility that is ours, and recognize the time that we're living in. And recognize that we're fast reaching the position that if this nation does not find its knees and find the God of the nation, you will see destruction such as never been seen before. And those Lamanites that are gathering together one tribe after another are becoming more aware each day that the day may come that they will run to the Gentiles like a young lion and tear down their strongholds and destroy. I'm going to read one more scripture. It's the last chapter in the third book of Nephi. Hearken, O ye Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you, for behold, he commandeth me that I should write, saying, turn, all ye Gentiles, from your wicked ways, and repent of your evil doings, of your lyings, and of your deceivings, and of your whoredoms, and of your secret abominations, and of your idolatries, and of your murders, and of your preachcrafts, and of your envies, and of your strifes, and from all of your wickedness and abominations. And come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may receive a remission for your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that ye may be numbered with my people, who are of the house of Israel. Yes. Hearken unto you, Gentiles. Listen to the cry of he who is mighty to save, and recognize your heritage, and come before him with a contrite spirit and that broken heart, and reach out unto him and be prepared to serve him in any capacity and manner that's according to his holy will, and testify unto this nation and those about us of the hope and the knowledge that we have within us because of the inspiration and the power of God in the edifying of his Holy Spirit, and lay hold of the rod of iron. And don't turn it loose. For when you turn loose of that rod of iron, you'll stumble, you'll fall, you will not be able to hurdle the crevices, the cracks. You won't hurdle them, because the power of the adversary will draw you down. Let us remember that arm of mercy that he said is extended unto you, is extended unto me, it's extended unto this nation, if we'll hear those tidings and the conditions that was proclaimed by the angels of repentance with a broken heart and a contrite spirit.